I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and there will be no FedEx Cup points awarded this week, but there is still plenty of golf action. We've got the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, and we've got the U.S. Women's Open, and joining me to break it all down, the squad is here, the crew is here. Mark Immelman is here. Hey, Mark.
How's it, boys? How are we doing? Everyone good?
So far, yeah, so
good. Great. Yeah, I'm doing great. There's never the game of golf never takes a rest, right?
I feel like Greg Ducharme. I'm fresh off the driving range, been giving lessons. I mean, I'm just so excited to be on this podcast right now, bringing a little driving range stuff with me.
Mark Immelman. It's Greg Ducharme. It's Kyle Porter, KP. Golf, unbeknownst to a lot of my Twitter followers, is played worldwide. And here we go. Here's a week.
Yeah, and this is where we started unleashing the actual takes. The PGA Tour, you know, there's some like tepid takes. These are the spicy ones. So I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to do this.
All right, well, let's not waste any more time. Let's jump into this. The DP World Tour Championship, this is being played in Dubai. This is the European Tour's finale, right? The race to Dubai concludes this week, and the field is fairly strong, gentlemen, with a lot of familiar names. Greg, you and I were kind of chatting about this leading into going live in a field of that includes Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, Victor Hovland, Tyrrell Hatton. It's actually Patrick Reed who has been installed as the favorite.
It is a little bit surprising. I mean, he's been playing quite well, but you have it doesn't seem right. Maybe it's because of the style of play, but it seems like some of these other guys, like Tommy Fleetwood, sticks out to me as a guy that you would expect to be a favorite, or a Christian Bezuidenhout who's coming off of two straight victories. Patrick Reed seems like a little bit surprising. So I'm not sure it's deserving. He's been playing really well of late, and he ended the PGA Tour season for this calendar year quite well. But it's still a little surprising that he's the favorite.
There's a couple of fun caveats and like little tidbits about this, Mark. Like, you know, Colin Morikawa, who ranks third in the race to Dubai points, has not played an event outside of the United States, right? Which is always kind of fun. He can swoop over to Dubai and wrap this thing up just with one start.
Yeah, it's how those world rankings points stack out. But the thing about it too, sadly for the European Tour, whereas the PGA Tour came back, you know, in early June or whenever it was when we came back from the COVID lockdown. You know, the European Tour for a while was still locked down over there because of the proliferation of COVID over there in Europe. And then, of course, they had that little stretch of golf there where they essentially had, I think it was five events just in the British Isles where they drove, you know, from areas around England to from one to the other. So the schedule this year was a little thin. But ordinarily, the guys you find atop this ranking are guys that play in the World Golf Championships. They play in the majors, all of those events that count towards the points list, the money list over there in Europe. So it's typically the usual suspects who are vying for this title. And I got to tell you, I mean, the one thing about the Emirates, they have some of the coolest trophies. I mean, you think about that thing when you win there in Dubai, you get that huge urn is the one thing, that huge coffee urn. But this week you've got that scepter. Basically, you get that's just studded with diamonds and gold and stuff like that, and you've got the huge trophy. It's pretty cool stuff to play for.
Yeah, I think I don't know what it was. They've got all the best stuff over there, like glowing orbs and things of that nature. KP, you know, there is kind of a clear divide, right? There's the names that we talk about on a regular basis: Patrick Reed, Tyrrell Hatton, Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa, and then there's the top players that primarily play on the European Tour. Obviously, we get some of these guys coming over. Christian Bezuidenhout is the one that Greg mentioned. He's got back-to-back wins on the European Tour, but then you get, you know, the Andy Sullivans of the world, the Robert McIntyres of the world, the guys that make their hay primarily overseas.
Yeah, the Tyrrell Hattons of the world. And, you know, he probably played on the PGA Tour more this year than he has in past years. By the way, it's you need to get it right here. It's European Tour lifetime member, Patrick Reed.
Apologies.
Yeah.
It's not honorary as well, I believe, is included
it's,
in there.
It's, who is it? It's him, Nicholas, and Tom Watson or something?
Yeah, it's like three names and Patrick Reed is one of them.
It never gets old. I think that's a good point. And I think, by the way, I have a lot of questions about these rankings. I don't understand them. Like, I don't understand how I don't get how Morikawa is third or second or whatever he is. Where's DJ? Where's Bryson? What's the deal?
You gotta be members of the tour.
So Colin Morikawa is a European Tour member?
I guess he has to be. If he's earning points over there, there must be some sort of membership that was taken up. Unless something's changed since I was aware, if you're a member of the tour, you start amassing points from whenever you become a member.
Huh. So I guess that's why DJ and Bryson, so because DJ and Bryson are not members, they would not get points. No. Mm-mm. Colin Morikawa, who's never been to Europe, is a European Tour member.
Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense for guys that are playing their stretch of events. So that's what Patrick Reed has done over the last few years, and we joke about him. But the guy, he gets the honorary membership with a Masters win, and then he takes up the membership there every year. And every year he's a part of the storyline for the Race to Dubai, and it's a handy paycheck. And he's playing in some big events against some stiff competition now in this time of the year. And it depends on how much you want to play. And Reed's the kind of guy who just wants to play all of the time. Where DJ, he's like, okay, I'll do the Tiger Woods schedule plus about another three or four, and that's me for the year.
Yeah, Patrick Reed always says, you know, I'm going to play golf anyway. So, like, if I'm taking time off, I'm playing golf. So why not get paid while I'm doing it? It's an interesting point he makes. He and Sungjae.
Producer Jacob with the facts here. Colin Morikawa took up European Tour membership at the 2020 WGC Mexico Championship. And then, of course, being boosted KP by his victory at the PGA Championship is what gets him into such an illustrious position. He has five events that he played that would qualify him for these European Tour, these Race to Dubai points, basically the WGCs and the majors.
Well, it's along these lines, too, that you have like the Rory story, you know, when he was playing over here full time, when he was warned, look, if you don't play your fair share of events, you know, you'll play your way out of Ryder Cup captaincy one day. And then there was also Paul Casey and playing on the Ryder Cup team. So they are membership criteria. Like, you've got to play a certain number of events to remain eligible. You have to take up your membership. We've seen guys not do that and cost themselves Ryder Cup selection. But, I mean, this battle dates back way back to the Seve Ballesteros of the world. You know, he led the European charge over here to the PGA Tour, along followed Faldo and Langer and Sandy Lyle and all that sort of crowd. And Seve was always battling to make sure, because if you're playing your, whatever it was then, 15 events to be a member over here, and then another 15 or whatever it is in Europe, that's a lot of golf during the year, backing and forthing across the Atlantic. And so there's always been this battle between the stars playing here and over there. But I tell you what, the one thing, the European Tour has made it easier for their stars to come play here in the States and then still be members over there and show up at their big events.
It's, by the way, it's Palmer, Nicholas, Watson, and Pat Reed.
There you go. The Mount Rushmore of American European Tour golf. Usually, The studs win this thing, Greg. I mean, just to run through some of the recent winners, John Rahm's won it twice. Danny Willett, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Roy McIlroy, also two-time winner. Henrik Stenson, also two-time winner. And only two of the last seven winners have been longer than 12-1. So, Greg, this is usually a top of the betting board type of situation.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that has to do with the golf course. A lot of it has to do with the conditions that they're playing in. I mean, it always seems to be pretty favorable conditions. All of my memories from this tournament are great conditions with really low scoring, at times low scoring. But these guys, they know how to play this golf course. And it is a golf course that allows for the very best players to perform at their very best. So they take advantage and they get the job done. It's very similar to what we see on the PGA Tour. Studs win the big events over there too, especially the Tour Championship and events like the Masters. So it's a sign of a great tournament when you have great winners every single year, as we do here.
Let's make some picks. Let's do some picks. We've got winners, sleepers, and our favorite bet for the DP World Tour Championship. Kyle, let's start with you. Let's start with your winner. Who is going to take this thing down? You got that little smirk on your face. I'm excited to hear this.
Well, he hasn't necessarily been playing great. You know, if you look at Data Golf stuff in the last 3 months, he's still, you know, top five in this field in terms of strokes gained overall. It's Reed, Hovland, Hatton, Sungjae, Poulter, and then Morikawa. I guess that's, what is that, six or seven? So he hasn't been playing as well as he did when he won the PGA Championship, but he's still one of the, I don't know, three or four best guys in this field. And honestly, I kind of just picked him because I think it would be hilarious if Colin Morikawa has never played a European Tour event that I know of, like a real one, goes out and wins their FedEx Cup, so to speak. I think that would be great.
Yeah, it would be quite comical for sure. It'd be a fun little tweet to send out. Also, I find it unbelievably unlikely that Patrick Reed at 8-1 is twice as likely to win this golf tournament as Colin Morikawa at 16-1. I find that hard to believe, Las Vegas. Mark, your pick to win the DP World Tour Championship.
Yeah, it's a guy who's won the Race to Dubai before, and he finished third here a couple of years ago and was the runner-up to John Rahm last year. And I'm talking about a guy who plays over there in Europe a fair bit. And, you know, he hosts a tournament in the United Kingdom. And this is Tommy Fleetwood. Plays the golf course great. The golf course sort of sets up for a right to left pattern, which is his drill. I mean, that's what he does. And I'm not aware of him having played of late, but he's one of those guys that goes down to Dubai and goes and works on the game down there. And so he's very familiar with the conditions, very familiar with the golf course. I think the golf course sets up with him, for him, at least the way it finishes. And typically at this place, you have someone doing something special on that final par five. And Fleetwood's been there, so he knows the place. So I'm going with Fleetwood.
That would also be another great chapter in Tommy Fleetwood cementing his resume outside of the United States, which would always be a fun conversation to have. Greg, your pick to win the DP World Tour.
My pick to win this year is Bernd Wiesberger. He may not be the typical name that you're used to seeing in the stud category, but he is a stud. He's 40th best player in the world. He's got 10 professional wins. I think seven of them are on the European Tour. So this guy is an elite winner. And I think back to what he did at the Scottish Open in 2019, shooting that 61 in the final round. It was a remarkable performance. And I think he's rounding into similar form to that again this year. You see his most recent two starts have been a tied fourth at the RSM Classic. We saw him over here in the States. And then the Golf in Dubai Championship presented by DP World, he came in tied eighth. So I think the form is really starting to swing into Bernd Wiesberger's favor. And I think he's going to figure it out. He came in tied 28th last year at this event, which isn't exactly what you're hoping for, but I think it's going to swing in his favor this week.
All right, I'm going to pull out my golf club, point it like a shotgun, and take Terrell Hatton as my pick to win. 10-1, Bernd Wiesberger, 28-1. So Greg going for a little bit more value. And let's talk value. Let's talk sleepers. Mark, I might need a little help. My sleeper, South African Dean Burmeester.
Burmeester. Yeah, he's a tremendous golfer, powerful. The guy can move it in a hurry through the air. So Dean Burmester, he's always been, you know, one to keep an eye on. And he played pretty solidly last week in the South African Open down in Sun City. So, yeah, I think he's a pretty good pick around there.
Finished fourth in South Africa. He's finished fourth in consecutive years here at this event, 2018, 2017. I think he finds a little bit of that magic and has a good week this week. He's 60-1. Mark, we'll stay here with you and your sleeper, please.
Well, I had to put Robert Rock's name down there just for a little while because I love revisiting the time he held off Tiger Woods here at this event en route to one of his victories on the European Tour. So Robert Rock is always a good selection around here, but I'm really going with my boy Christian Bazenot. I mean, the way he's been playing of late is uncanny. Mm-hmm. He started at Augusta National where he played in his first Masters as a rookie, made the cut, was sound for just a few holes, and in the last few weeks in South Africa, he has just been playing on a different level. And he's the kind of guy who carries it on. And he's young and he's fresh and he's fit. So I don't think all of the travel is going to be too much of a deal, because from South Africa to the Emirates, I think you're only losing like maybe an hour, two at the most in terms of time zones. So it's just the 11-hour flight or whatever it is with not too much time change. So I feel like he's just going to stay in the saddle and keep playing well.
Yeah, he's coming off back-to-back victories.
Is he a sleeper?
Well, according to Greg Ducharme, yes. That's why I had to put
him. Yeah. We'll have to fill you in on something that happened before Kyle got on. We'll have to tell you a little something. We'll fill you in on that in just a second with Greg and Mark. But KP, your sleeper is 66-1. Who is it?
Yeah, Aaron Ray. Help me out here, Mark.
Rye.
Yeah. He's finished, well, he won like a month ago, and he's finished in the top three in three of his last five events. You know, he 66-1, he's been playing really good golf. And so is he the caliber of a Fleetwood or a Westwood or somebody like that? No, of course not. But in terms of recent form, he's been excellent.
Yeah, he had a first, a second, and a third over a four-week stretch a couple of weeks ago. Greg
had some good tournaments too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been Scotland, Ireland, and I just closed out the other one. Greg, your sleeper, please.
I think Mark is really going to like this one. Brandon Stone. He has a sweet golf swing. It's one you feel like you could just watch all day. And he's been playing pretty well this year. He's got four top tens on the year, a second at the Oman Open, and recently tied fourth at the, if I mispronounce this, Mark, please forgive me, but the Joburg Open. So he has been playing Joburg. Yeah. Excuse me. He's been playing some wonderful golf, and I'm looking forward to a great performance out of him. And I think we'll get to know this guy. I think Brandon Stone is one of those players who we may see over here in the States at some point in the future. He's got a lot of game.
Well, he's been over here already, played on the University of Texas golf team there for a few years, turned pro, and then had some big wins. I mean, he shot, 59 en route to the victory at the Scottish Open a couple of years ago?
I believe he
shot 60 maybe, but he had a putt for 59 on the line.
No, you're right, Mark. He didn't. It was 60.
Yeah, and so he's good. And just some insider knowledge of his dad's name's Kevin. His father was a really good player in his own right, and the nickname was Stoney. So when little Brandon came along, he became Pebbles. So everyone called him Pebbles Stone. So there's the story.
Love it. He's a good, that's a great nickname, by the way. He's a good off the tee guy. All right, favorite bet. So this is, before we went hot, we already had a wine wager placed. So I don't want to step on Mark and Greg and kind of describe how this happened, but they're kind of in opposing camps of who may have a good week or not. So Greg, lay out how this all went down.
So we have... Jacob puts together this rundown, right? It's great work. It's always great. And he allows us, because of the technologies of today, to fill in some of our picks in these scenarios. So we can all see it. We can all share it. And my favorite bet of the week is Bernd Wiesberger over Christian Bezuidenhout, +100. It's a great bet. Now, Bezuidenhout is playing probably some of the best golf of anybody in the world. So how is that? And so Mark, of course, challenges me on that and says, we want to maybe throw something, make it sweeten the pot a little bit, sweeten it with maybe some fermented grapes or something along those lines. So that's what we're going to do.
You know what? It's easy to make the hot take, but it's a little more challenging to put your money alongside said hot take. So,
yeah. Well,
thank you. Okay. Make the call. That's brave.
Yeah. Well, is it though? I mean, if Bernd Wiesberger is going to win the event, which he is, I mean, I just look for whoever he's matched up against, and that's the best bet.
I like this scrolling thing, by the way.
Yeah. Dude, Jacob is killing it these days. If you're not watching these on YouTube, you are doing it wrong. We have a wine wager alert ticker scrolling down at the bottom of the page. So KP, what you missed was then, so they were like, okay, you know, let's do, you know, a nice bottle of wine. We'll put a wager on this. And Mark pulled the old Michael Jordan, like, well, what's a nice bottle of wine for you? Like, what's going to make you nervous here? What's the amount we want to go for? And it was spectacular.
I actually need to know that for my JT wager. I actually need to know what we're actually talking about.
Kyle, judging by the palatial house that you've just purchased, we're going for Opus One or something. And
well, also the amount of time that accrues here, there's got to be a little interest on it. So, I mean, yeah, you're talking about a 10-year bet here. It's got to be pretty hefty.
I like bets that are double-digit years. Until we find out,
build up a lot of equity.
I've already put down some wagers on the 2036 Ryder Cup is apparently, or 2040 or whatever, is going to be in Frisco. So we can make whatever bets we want for that. It's like 30 minutes from my house.
By the time Kyle has to play this JT bet, we're going to be known as the seventh cut or the eighth
cut anymore. All right. So to recap, Greg took Burned over Bez for a matchup. Kyle, your best bet also includes the man who is coming off two consecutive victories.
Mark mentioned him to me when we were at the Masters, I think before the Masters. And, you know, there's so many guys, I feel like, specifically from South Africa that are, I mean, we talk about Eric Van Rooyen, like that are just top 40 guys, and they seem to kind of just rotate in and out. And he's obviously kind of on a heater right now. I like him in a matchup against, I think it was Sungjae and Matt Wallace.
Correct.
And yeah, I think it was like plus 175 for him to win that matchup, which I thought was a really good number. In terms of Greg and Mark's bet though, I really like both those guys. I think they're both really good. And I need a third party to get in and try to steal some of their wine.
Don't you worry.
You'll just steal it anyway from everything Mark says.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I remember the hotel room in Augusta, Georgia. Yeah, I remember
that. This is that. Don't believe any of that. That's fake news.
Actually, all jokes aside, that's where we talked about Christian that one evening. I think it was might have been after the practice round or whatever. And yeah, and Kyle was just tossing names at me, and I'm like, watch for Bessay note. He's real. I mean, he's cut of the Ernie Els cloth to me, you know, sort of tallish, not Ernie's size, but big language swing, hits the ball freely. It's uninterrupted, and he's got all the tools.
Speaking of a swing that can hit it for days, Mark, your favorite bet includes a guy who is just an absolute stone bomber.
Yeah, I had to get this in. I love Bryson, I do. But he has the guy who's done absolutely nothing in the gym and flies at 350 in the blink of an eye. And Wilco Nienaber, I mean, our attentions were drawn to him, yeah, maybe a year ago. For future President's Cups, and he's the kid can go. He really can. He essentially fumbled an event a couple 3 weeks ago where he had the lead, and he had a rough finish, a couple bogeys to finish, and then I can't remember who overtook him. But he essentially nearly won his first European Tour event. It was the Joburg Open, in fact, and then has played well since. And around a place like this in Dubai, I think Nienaber is just, it's going to be freewheeling. He's going to stand up there and just absolutely lace the balls off the tee and turn a lot of these holes into drivers and wedges and stuff like that. And truth be told, Henrik Stenson just hasn't been playing that well. And even though he's coming to a place where he's won before, I think the fresh face in Wilco Nienaber is going to probably be a handful this week.
I love it. My best bet of the week is Colin Morikawa to be the top American. No offense to John Catlin or Sean Crocker, but this is a two-horse race. It's Patrick Reed or Colin Morikawa. So if you're giving me plus 163 on Colin Morikawa in a matchup against Patrick Reed, essentially, I will take it. So Colin Morikawa, top American. Gentlemen, we've got women's golf, the 75th U.S. Women's Open coming at you. On the other side, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
And we're back. The women are in action for their U.S. Open in Houston. Champions Golf Club is going to play host this week, but they're using two courses, right? They're worried a little bit about daylight. So the first two rounds will be played across the Cypress course and the Jackrabbit course before they make the cut and move everybody back over to the Champions Golf Club. Greg, the big thing that we might notice, first of all, this is going to be it's just a stacked field. It's going to be a great event to watch. It's in like the perfect time of day to watch golf. I love this. The thing we're also going to notice about this Champions course, the greens are almost 10,000 square feet on average. I mean, these are just absolute monsters. Going to be a lot of lags. You know, it'll be nice to get home in two on a lot of these putts for the women.
It looks like the course is going to be set up on the long side as well. So you have a long golf course with some big green. It's a big golf course, and it's hosted a number of events before. It's hosted a U.S. Open before. I believe it was 1969. Correct me if I'm wrong, but so it has been, we have seen it before, not in person necessarily, not at that time, maybe Mark has, but it was a long time ago where we had a U.S. Open here.
this rivalry is really escalated here in the last couple of minutes.
Well, that escalated quickly. So yeah, but a big golf course, only the second time that a U.S. Women's Open has been held in Texas. The first was at Colonial. So it'll be fun to see. It's a nice time of year to get down into that area for a U.S. Open. So I'm really looking forward to the event.
You know, it's interesting. And Mark, you brought this up earlier. You were mentioning kind of the shortened light season that the European Tour had. And there are a lot of top women's players who also had a very short season, whether they were like I don't want to spoil my pick to win, but my pick to win, she stayed essentially quarantined in Korea from February, only played one event. So, I mean, there's just a lot of high caliber players who have not played a lot, and they're trying to put it all together for one of the biggest events on their schedule right now.
Yeah, it's true. And the cool thing about this event to me, and Greg was highlighting the course a little bit. I mean, last year for the US Open, the Women's Open, they were down in Charleston, South Carolina, at a Donald Ross place that was just off the charts to me. And Jung Yoon Lee Six won. And so it's the kind of place where, even though folks haven't been playing very much, I think hardly anyone has probably seen this golf course. They're a bunch of the Korean girls who live in the Dallas area, around the Dallas area. So maybe they're a bit more familiar with the golf course. But two courses down there in Houston, you got a situation where people haven't really played, and now you're going to a golf course that essentially nobody's seen. So it's a clean slate. So you start to look into now who is going to prepare the best and who has the best practice rounds and who's playing well through all of this. So I think you can almost throw the form guide out of the window a little bit, given those scenarios, because when you go to events, whether it's on the LPGA tour, and I've worked with a few players on the men's tour, you know, there's always that group of players you can throw a blanket over and say, look, they're going to contend. And it's the same deal over here. Mm-hmm. But when you start to get to a place where it's different conditions, it's a new golf course, you know, someone just has to grab lightning in a bottle, like Lee Six did last year, and all of a sudden you got yourself a major champion. So it's going to be some fascinating viewing. And I love watching the LPGA stuff for various reasons. I've got two daughters, which is probably some of the reason. And then just the teacher in me, and I'm sure Greg will agree, I think every club golfer out here, they'll learn more about how to go ahead and play the game and manage a golf course from watching the ladies play, because they don't move the thing as fast through the air, and how they strategize and manage their way around a course and how they recover and the shots they select from, you know, watching the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour is like us watching a bunch of gods basically, you know, compete week in and week out, kind of like Valhalla. But the LPGA, we can sympathize with the way they play the game. And so I love to watch, and I love to watch how they go about their craft.
Yeah.
Lots to learn this week.
I love that, and I want to mine into that field just a bit more. KP, this is a stacked field, very deep, excellent event, as you can imagine, for one of the premier events on the ladies' schedule.
Yeah, it is. And real quick on what Mark said, and this is not a new take. A lot of people have talked about it, but just the women can go to these courses and play them. You know, we talk about Bryson just bludgeoning Wingfoot, and you're like, okay, well, great, he won. Was that fun to watch? I don't know. Some of it was. But when they go to courses, like they went to, was it Charleston last year where they put the U.S. Women's Open?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, this is like, there's actual like strategy beyond just hit it as far as you can. Now, that's also a strategy and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's definitely different. And I think more palatable, more enjoyable, honestly, if you're into watching great golf. But the thing I wanted to say about the field is, I think the USGA has done a great job. They did it. They did this with the men's US Open as well, of sort of simulating what the field would have looked like if there was qualifying.
Mm, yeah.
And they've got like, I don't know, 25 amateurs, some huge number of amateurs in this field. And I think that's awesome, because I think that's when you think of a US Open, that's what you think of, whether it's on the men's side or the women's side. So yes, it's loaded, but it's also very diverse in terms of pros, amateurs, people from or women from all over the world, and I think it'll make for a great event.
There are some frisky comments in our chat right now. Producer Jacob taking a jab at Kyle. He says it's a great course, Country Club of Charleston, the rare nice course that I've played that KP hasn't. Take that, Kyle Porter.
Just keep them coming, Producer Jacob. Remember, we've got the mics the whole time, and you are not on those mics. Yeah,
but he can mute your mic.
Yes, so he controls your mic.
That's true.
That's awesome. Gentlemen, let's make some picks. Let's go crazy. Let's make some picks to win the 75th U.S. Women's Open. Greg, you get to bat leadoff. Who All will right. be raising the trophy come Sunday evening?
So this may be a little chalky, maybe an easy pick, but to me, it's MB Park. And she is playing phenomenal golf, not quite as good as Christian Poseidon, who went in two times in a row. So I'm not worried about that, okay? I'm not worried about – she's not playing too good. She's a seven-time major winner. She won this year the ISPS Women's Australian Open. She has six additional top tens. She was runner-up at the KPMG Women's PGA and fourth at the Women's British. And when she at the Women's PGA, she was right there. And it was a 63 from Se-young Kim that got her. It was really one of the more remarkable performances. She's another player to watch, by the way. But anyway, she is, I think, in great form. I think she's ready to win another major and make it eight. So I like MB Park. She's also hitting 82% of her fairways. this year, which is well, it happens to be fourth on tour, which is just amazing. But it is, she's swinging great right now, and I think she's built for major championships like this.
She's got the resume. She's the fifth ranked woman in the world, and she is, oh, I just had the odds up here and I lost them. I'll circle back on NB Park's odds. Mark, your pick to win the 75th edition of the U.S. Women's Open, please.
Well, humor me, I've got my eye on a couple players, and they both played down in the Houston area. A few years ago, I went to an event called the Spirit International, and I was part of the announce crew, and it's the first time I watched Brooke Henderson play. And it's the first time I saw Ally McDonald play. And the both of them going to an area down in Houston that they're somewhat familiar with. I would like their chances around there because especially Ally has played well of late year. And bar Daniel Kang going a bit bananas, she might have had another victory to her credit. So I got my eye on her, but really my pick is Minji Lee. She's the way she plays the game, the mindset she has. She's like the ultimate major championship contender. And She'll blow your socks off if you watch her swing a golf club. It's just gorgeous. She really has got a powerful action. She hits it well, and she's been playing well too. So I think Minji Lee picks it up.
Minji Lee is 33-1. So there is some value built into that. If you're looking for Ally McDonald at your book of choice, which is obviously William Hill, she might be under Ally Ewing. She got married like 5 days ago or something like that. Oh, no, she got married in May. So she might be under a new name now, Ally Ewing, if that's what you're looking for. KP, I believe you and I are on the same wavelength here about who's going to take this thing down.
Yeah, you might have to help me with the pronunciation here, but So Yeon Ryu. So she's going to pull a DJ here. And yep. What I mean by that is she's going to go. So she hasn't played. She finished T2. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
It was last week.
At the event up kind of close to me, right? Here in the colony.
Like, yeah, it was cold, right? They were like taking their jackets on and off after every single shot. It was like freezing.
it looked like an open championship out there in, you know, Dallas of all places. But I think she's played some on like in Korea a little bit, but not on the LPGA tour. And so I think that, you know, we talk about DJ going out playing what did he play? Houston?
Yeah, right. That was his first start back after testing positive. He played Houston, then he played. Yeah.
And then he goes out and wins the Masters by 4 strokes or whatever. So I think she pulls the DJ and wins. She's got a great record at this event, by the way.
It's unbelievable.
Like her last 15 or 12 years, it's been, you know, T6, T7, T2. I think she won it back in like 2012 or something like that. So I like her this week.
Yeah, she has not finished outside the top 25. Any year in the last 10 years, and she has piled up 6 top 5 finishes at the U.S. Women's Open in that stretch. She is 25-1. She's a 2-time major winner. She played great last week. I think if she, you know, if she had played more recently, if she even pulls off a victory last week, these odds might be half of that. She's got an unbelievable resume. I think we get a really good number. I'm with KP. So Yeon Ryu to win the U.S. Women's Open. How about that? Pretty good. All right, gentlemen. We're going to be back with plenty more content over the course of the next couple of weeks. I hope you enjoy some European tour, some LPGA action. I want to thank Mark Immelman for joining us. You can find him at Mark_Immelman. I'd like to thank Greg Ducharme, who you can find at The Real GFD, and Kyle Porter, who you can find at Kyle Porter CBS. I'm at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. And we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.